All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gray Malkin Lane podcast Patreon channel. We are in the middle of July as we are releasing this, but the end of June as we are recording it. I am so happy to be focusing on a character that I've loved for a long time that is integral in some ways to the X-Men franchise, but oft overlooked at the same time. And that's the incredible character, Charlotte Jones, who is... I don't know. I feel like she's named after Grace Jones. She's given us a lot of different stories in a lot of different ways. I'm a big fan of this character. I'm so excited to be joined by my friend Dominic Middleton returning to the show and meeting for the first time the incredible cosplayer, Ms. Skittles herself. Let me have you both introduce yourselves. Tell everybody a little about you, a little about your cosplay journey, your X-Men connections, and then we're going to jump into talking a little about Ms. Charlotte Jones. Let's start with Ms. Skittles. Welcome to Gray Malkin Lane, my friend.
Thank you for having me. A little bit about me. I'm never good at this type of thing, but well, Miss Skittles, that's my cosplay name, but my name is Tiffany. I have been a cosplayer since 2017. Been going to conventions for years. I've been a nerd since birth. my dad started me out into cartoons and video games, and eventually that, you know, went on into anime and comics as well. And Team Marvel over here, obviously.
What are some of the cosplay looks you're most known for?
I think my most viral cosplay was probably my Sailor Storm mashup. it's me taking like two of my favorite characters. Well, I wouldn't say Usagi is my favorite character, but favorite fandom, and mashing it up with one of my favorite Marvel characters. So yeah, that was a real creative, like, random thing, and I didn't expect it to get, you know, go as far as it did, but it did. The other one is an anime cosplay, and that's Scarlet Ursa. Mm. That was my second build ever as a cosplayer. So again, completely surprised. but a lot of people liked it, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of great cosplay out there, and all cosplay is to be celebrated, of course. But you, I've been following you for a long time. Your body positivity, your makeup skills are on point. You give some incredible looks and take some incredible photos. It's really great to meet you. How often do you wear professional cosplay during the year?
Well, I try to debut a new cosplay to every convention that I go to, at least one. Sometimes I try to outdo myself and I'll do like two. I'm actually, for BlurCon this year, I'm doing three, which is why I'm in crunch mode right now. But yeah, I try to debut a new cosplay for every con that I go to throughout the year.
Where's BlurCon? That sounds fun.
It is in Crystal City, Virginia, in the second week of July.
Excellent, excellent. I wish I could go. I'll have to come another time. Yes. And then over to my returning friend, Dominic Middleton. Dominic was on the show with us for a script reading, playing the role of Bond in X-Men Unlimited. It's good to see you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. And thank you again for having me back on here. I'm so excited. I'm a little bit nervous, but mostly excited. So I'm 28 years old, from Memphis, Tennessee, born and raised. I am a streamer, a podcaster, and a cosplayer. I've been cosplaying since 2018. I have started, and then from then on, it's been a journey since. It took me to some places I've never been before. And I'm also a streamer on Twitch. I've been streaming for, this will be 4 years this year, and with my podcast, Beyond the Batcave. We've been podcasting for 5 years now. We celebrate our 5-year anniversary just a couple months back. So that's just a little bit about me. Professional wise, I work in collegiate athletics with college football. So a little bit more of the professional me, but you guys probably want to know personally more about me. So streaming, cosplaying, and podcasting, those are just some of my hobbies that I love doing.
I love meeting people who work hard, but also play hard. You know, like we do the things we love on the side and make a big deal out of it. It's really fun to be embracing more and more cosplayers on the show more recently. I realize what an art it is. I'm not a person who's ever done cosplay, but I may be trying out my first look this year. We'll see how it turns out and how good I'm feeling about my body at the time.
Hey, look, I always tell people, try it at least once. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, over the top. It doesn't have to be 100% accurate. I mean, just go something like casual, and then next thing you know, you just be like, maybe I am going to have fun with this. So that's how I kind of got into it, was just trying it out. And then I got a whole bunch of compliments on my first cosplay, and I was like, maybe I can do something out of this. And then that's how I came to be.
I love to teach the class or like facilitate the conversation, but I'm so worried I'm going to like rip something where it shouldn't be ripped, you know?
Hey, I had that problem before. Yes. So it is very common, so do not feel embarrassed just in case that happens.
I am a long-term X-Men nerd. I used to write the encyclopedias for Marvel. Now I'm hosting this X-Men show, so I'm talking about X-Men shit all the time. I feel like I have multiple college degrees in X-Men at this point, which is crazy. Now, were either of you familiar with the character Charlotte Jones before I suggested this conversation?
No.
Oh, wow. This is a whole new journey for you.
Yes.
So Charlotte Jones is first introduced in the late 1980s when Louise Simonson is taking the X-Factor team, which consists of the original X-Men. And they have all been on a lot of different journeys. Scott and Jean are together. They introduce Trish Tilby as the girlfriend of the Beast. We saw Trish on X-Men 97 recently. Yeah. She became a Sentinel, poor thing. they introduce Opal Tanaka for Bobby Drake, or Iceman, to date. Opal has an episode on my show with the incredible Justin Park. Go give it a listen. And then the third one they introduce is a love interest for Angel, is Charlotte Jones. And Angel in this era has just kind of started to overcome his programming as Archangel from when he's turned by Apocalypse through the Death Seed into like the blue-skinned metal-winged guy. His wings kind of seem to have a mind of their own, and he's not quite back with the team. He's kind of an anti-hero with a lot of anger issues, and it's kind of a rough era for him in a lot of ways. Charlotte Jones is the character that kind of helps him find his humanity again. And they build a pretty strong relationship over a period of issues, but then the books get reshuffled. Archangel gets taken back into the main X-Men on the X-Men Gold Team in Uncanny, and Charlotte kind of falls by the wayside. Chris Claremont is fond of this character, though. He tends to love a strong woman, a woman of color, particularly a woman who is tough. And so he's brought Charlotte Jones into a couple of key storylines, but she's a pretty fantastic character that stands out as one that's kind of unique. There's kind of three major storylines. There's Charlotte as Archangel's love interest or ex-love interest. There's Charlotte as the policewoman or the mom. She's the single mom. And then Charlotte has kind of some weird stories where she'll just be in other places working as a police officer and kind of get sucks into like different types of things. But her relationship with Archangel is almost my favorite thing about this character, which is kind of a fun thing. Warren, of course, is the billionaire playboy who recently kind of lost everything, lost his company, lost his wings, lost his humanity. And it's through a woman of color who works hard and has been through a lot that kind of brings him back to himself. I'd love to hear kind of your initial thoughts about what it was like to step into this world of this new character that you had not heard of before.
Initially, when I started reading about her, I was like, it's like, because I've never heard of her. So I was like, what powers does she have? Like, I was excited about the powers. and then I found out she didn't have any powers. but I was like, this is giving me, I hate to like, you know, talk about DC Comics, but it's giving like Batman vibes. Like, you know, I'm here for the team. I don't have any powers, but I'm always down, you know, to help like anyone out on the X-Men. It's seemingly, and then, you know, Forge makes her a whole costume and everything. So it's like, okay, we have this, you know, regular normie here doing superhero things. And I love that for her character, especially as a woman of color. It's like, you know, she's included. And then she's also putting herself on the line, and then she's also a single mother. So I really love that. I mean, I hate, you know, that happened to her husband and her child, but I love the aspect of, you know, this woman of color, single mother, handling her business and then also ride or die for the X-Men. Like,
she's got a couple like key storylines with the team too, especially that Operation Zero Tolerance story, which I love her in, that issue with Forge that you talk about. There's a few like pretty big ones.
When I saw that she was working for NYPD, I started looking more into, you know, her background with that a little bit. I was like, she kind of reminds me of Misty Knight a little bit, just without, you know, the mechanical arm that she has. But then, you know, digging more into her, I was like, you know, oh, so she doesn't have like any type of powers, like skill set, and she gets to join the X-Men. So I was like, so is she like the first human to ever join the team, like non-mutant? Chad, I don't know if you can answer that, but I was just thinking about that. So I'm like, a human joining the X-Men team.
I mean, they bring different characters in once in a while. Madeline Pryor is a standout example of, like, she was non-powered with the team for a long time, but then she becomes the Goblin Queen. Charlotte remains unpowered, except for her, you know, like, secret X-Men underwear, which can, like, block bullets. But she's good with a gun and she's tough. I am shocked we've actually never seen her and Misty Knight interact on the page a little bit. Misty Knight, of course, being like the comic book version of Pam Grier. I'm not sure I quite have the template for Charlotte. I feel like there's a lot of Grace Jones energy with this character. Her last name is literally Jones and it's a late 80s character. But she and Grace Jones do not have much in common except they're strong Black women. You know, that's kind of where the line draws, I think. So I'm going to introduce a couple of her storylines. So Charlotte first shows up in X-Factor 51. X-Factor is just back from space. They're at their big, giant, like, celestial, sentient ship base. And there are some police helicopters swarming because a giant skyscraper just landed in New York and people are freaking out a little bit. We kind of get it. Archangel flies at the copters to get them to move back. They crash into each other and they do their best to save the policemen inside. And this is where we first meet Charlotte Jones. She is tough, but Archangel swoops up, grabs her in his wings, and she climbs down Iceman's staircase to the floor below. The media is swarming. Archangel has this thing where his wings will lash out, and he does so here, destroying some of their cameras, and everyone's freaking out and a little afraid of him, which, of course, I get it. They're big, giant, you know, metal death wings, and I kind of understand. Charlotte interacts with X-Factor, and she is very pro-mutant, pro-X-Factor right from the beginning. Angel, she calls a hero right away. And she's very impatient with journalists. That's another thing we want to understand about this character right at the start. She's there to do the job, but she has kind of a sweet spot for superheroes. I think her life changed a little bit in that moment where she might have died, but the man with wings and blue skin, lowered her down to the ground.
I think it was like immediate spark. I feel like the moment this man saved her, she was in love. Like, because as you mentioned, like all of these, there's all these different factors to her. And then you have Archangel. His name is Archangel, but he comes down and he swoops in and saves her. I mean, but like, what woman wouldn't want that? So I'm like, oh. And even before like reading anything else, I was like, oh, they're about to be a thing here.
He's kind of the anti-hero. She's the woman that pulls him back down to the ground in some ways, which is kind of a cute version because he's lost his humanity. In the next issue, this is where Sabretooth is killing Morlock still. She finds the corpse of a guy named Chicken Wings. Chicken Wings is a character that's been discussed recently by Victor Laval in the Sabretooth series, along with Mole, one of the Morlocks that's been resurrected on Krakoa. But he's been super violently murdered, and Charlotte is called to the scene to investigate. She gets attacked by some grifters and Angel saves her life. And as he flies away, she thinks, there he goes, shining like a Christmas angel. He saved my life again. He scares me, sure, but I know he'd never hurt me, not on purpose. Why did he just fly away? So there's this kind of police side, but she has to get saved a second time, which is kind of cute. But also, she's tough enough to save the day herself.
Right.
We'll throw that out there right away.
Right.
We see her interacting with the team a little bit. She meets Bobby and Opal. The relationship between she and Warren seems to intensify behind the scenes a little bit. Caliban is here for a big fight. He's just been powered up by Apocalypse, and she shoots him once. I love Caliban. This is a character that I particularly am fond of for some odd reason. He's a big hulky child monster, but he's very special to me for some reason. When Archangel gets badly wounded, she is very worried about him. Live, Archangel, you hear me? Live, keep on breathing. We'll get you to a hospital. You'll be fine. And she has to save his life. At the hospital, he has a trauma response because his wings got amputated last time he was there. And Charlotte sees X-Factor kind of interacting with him. Covering those first ones a little bit quickly, but we get her first major glow up in Uncanny X-Men 264. This is a great issue. This is where the Genosian magistrates are hunting down the X-Men. We open with the caption, Alphabet City, neighborhood on Manhattan's Lower East Side, where the island forms a sort of bulge. Guy in my platoon said the avenues A, B, C, and D stood for assault, battery, concussion, and death. Far as he was concerned, the NAM was safer. My first visit, I'm inclined to concede that Joey may have had a point. I love her as the film noir detective, narrating this story. So they quickly realize there's some people hunting Forge. They open fire. Murph is killed, but Forge saves Jones's life, and she opens fire on the bad guys. He gives her body armor, and he has these superior weapons. They rush into the sewers.
My name's Jones.
Forge.
I owe you.
My pleasure.
You're hurt.
Trust me, officer. It's not quite as bad as it looks.
Good lord.
Prosthetic leg artificial. Since it's still working, there's probably no critical damage. Automatic internal maintenance systems handle the repairs.
Bionics, right? Heard of a cop with an arm like that.
Misty Knight, I worked on the designs. Sorry about your partner.
Me too. And yet, this part of me, you'll know that's glad that I wait, there's a lot of breaks. Is he crying? it's tears. it wasn't.
I know.
So who were those guys?
Magistrates. The federal police of the country of Genosha.
She pulls her gun out.
You want it,
oh,
man?
She can't see. Y'all can't see. Sorry. I forgot. We're this is not visual. Are you wanted, man?
Depends. Dare is a crime to be a mutant, so by dare rights, I'm a criminal.
But this is the United States.
Officer, they don't much care. They're after some friends of mine. I just happened to get in the way, same as your partner. By the way, if you're going to keep waving that thing, I suggest you reload. A bluff will only take you so far.
I was hoping you hadn't noticed.
They'll be after us soon. Clothes are a mess, and we could use some combat armor of our own. Here.
And he pulls some clothes out of his bag. This is the X-Men, unstable molecule body armor.
A lot of clothes for that itty bitty bag.
Magic. Get change.
So Charlotte puts on the blue and gold. She's got her skin tight X-Men uniform, knee high boots, and she says,
"You gotta be kidding. You people act here in public dressed like this.
It'll keep you warm, keep you dry, keep you alive.
What's the point? Anyone I know sees me, I'll die of embarrassment. Weird though, how can anyone or anything look so crude but feel so good?
Beard and dress, of course.
That better be a joke. Lost my radio in the water. Best find a phone, call 911.
That's just what the magistrates expect. Make that move or nail for certain.
Got a better idea? I mean, look at the water level. It's rising, so we sure can't stay here.
So she's sucked back into the affairs of the mutant world. Now, for a woman who has a kid, who works on the police force, who is black as a cop in New York, suddenly she's hanging out with the mutant guys after her, and she's having to wear this like skin tight suit that like shows off her whole body. And she's her first thought is like, "Oh my God, if anyone sees me." This interchange is really delightful. Do you have thoughts about her character here? We even get a reference to Misty Knight.
Yes. Describe it. Like, I feel like she's very comfortable. I feel like just interacting with Ford, she's very comfortable. And then also they're like kind of bonding. Like, where, like, how did this man just, have this suit ready, and it like fits her? And I just feel like it's like a calling for her. Like, this is what she's been meant to do all this time.
Like kismet. Yeah, she's like sucked into this crazy life of adventure, but her partner was just killed right in front of her. So
Right.
this is like a threat level that she hasn't quite faced before. It's a
Right.
foreign government that has mutant slaves, hunting people down on American soil. This is a different level of intensity. So they end up getting in a firefight with the magistrates. Charlotte kills one of them after he calls her Forge's girl. She goes, "I'm nobody's girl. I'm a New York City police officer. Put down that weapon. You're under arrest." She almost gets shot. A couple bullets bounce off her armor. They escape into the sewer again. They run into the rain. They fight more magistrates. They rescue a bunch of the X-Men, including Jean Grey, Beast, and Banshee. They get aboard ship, the X-Factor headquarters. Charlotte Jones knocks out Wipeout, the guy that can like cancel out your mutant powers, which is the worst like surfy 80s code name I've never heard for this like African white man who can cancel your powers out. The mall cops catcall Jones because she's wearing tight clothing and she is not having it. So I love that we get this little moment for her because that's very real life. When she learns that the magistrates who were arrested got set free because of diplomatic immunity, she is just gobsmacked. They're cop killers. So much for the system, she says. The Genosians didn't even get a slap on the wrist. As far as our government's concerned, they were never here. Last night didn't happen. Murph was gunned down by person or persons unknown. I breathe a word of the truth. I'm on instant permanent suspension. This is a rough place for her to be in. Again, as a black female cop, as a single mother, and now in this crazy world where she's realizing the intensity of things, it's a lot. Dominic, what are your thoughts on Charlotte's character by Claremont?
It is interesting to put her in that situation. She's kind of like a what's the term? Like a fish out of water or something like that. Now she's in, now she's in unknown territory. She's used to dealing with, like regular cop stuff, regular detective stuff. Now she's put in a situation where she has to deal with mutant affairs or something. Or if you want to call it that way, it's like kind of like her first, like real, I guess real type of action that she gets to experience. And now she's kind of like, I guess confused in a way on like what's going on, how is this happening, how did they get away? And so, and you can tell that she is, a person of justice because she's upset of how, those attackers just got away with no type of punishment or anything. So it lets me know that she is a character who stands for justice no matter what.
I love that we don't get a resolution on this story. It like ends in injustice, and it's rough because that's what the X-Men comics mean for us, right? Like there's never quite the justice that we hope for. She gets in over her head again, and there's some funny moments that show up because her character gets a lot of development, and then she gets the big damsel storyline. We'll talk about it. There's a weird race of vampires that are often forgotten in the X-Men. There's a woman named Crimson. She's a white woman in a red dress who can like psychic vampire your mind, basically. She has a team of other vampires, and they all have names that are like a shade of the color red. This is an X Factor 56 through 59. Archangel's being mind controlled, and she has to fight him once, and she thinks to herself, "Woman, how did you ever get involved in all this?" It's a great moment. But it's X Factor 57, where we start to see her home life really fleshed out. As she's getting involved, she does not realize the vampires are after her. This awful, like, blonde white woman vampire in a red dress is coming for her. But we get a peek into her home life. She's got a kid named Timmy, and the vampires attack as she is tucking her kid in. Good night.
Timmy, Angel, there's no such thing as monsters.
There were monsters here, Mommy, really. And she thinks,
I've never lied to him before. Only yesterday, it wouldn't have been a lie. Truth, reality, it isn't what I thought it was. It isn't what it used to be. I can be straight with him about it. I can try, only I don't want to scare him.
He goes, Mommy, look, there are monsters. See, they're back. And the vampires attack. She's getting lost in this world of mutants, right? We've seen her at this point have arguments with her partner who's like, mutants should just be left on their own. And she's like, well, they have to defend themselves. She's become aware of the Right, who are like literally named the Right after the far right. And they're big smiley like green soldiers who are hunting mutants down for conservatives. She's becoming aware of all this. And now she's kidnapped by vampires who are trying to use her to complete a ritual that will like make Archangel a vampire forever. I don't love that she becomes the damsel in distress here for a moment, but it's still a pretty great story. Skittles, what were your thoughts on this race of vampires?
So while I do love vampires, I don't know. I feel like it's really kind of strange villain to me for X-Men. Like, I don't understand how it.
I think
the whole storyline is a little disjointed for me.
I think the story happening for Archangel right here is, can he control his own soul, right? Like, he's been corrupted. Is he able to free himself from all this? So there's this woman trying to take his soul away, and he's deciding if he's monster or man in some ways. It's a little bit of a Dracula story in that way, where Charlotte is playing the role of the damsel here. It's an odd one, and it's one people don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know if I like it. Like, we know Archangel has been struggling. I mean, he was Apocalypse and all that storyline. So it's just like, why are we now the vampires are coming first? So like, let this man heal.
Dominic, are you an Archangel fan?
I am. Not a big one, but I do like his character.
He's been through a lot over the years, but this is one of the few places where he really gets to shine. So there's a moment where she's being restrained. She thinks, why me? Why my beat? Since X-Factor ship plonked itself down here, I've fallen from heights, been shot at, kidnapped, my kid's been terrorized, but this takes the cake. Of all the undignified positions, Archangel saved my life time and time again, and now that I've got my hands in front of me, I'm gonna save him. And then I'm gonna wrap them around that blonde witch's throat. She ends up getting freed at the end, and it's a cute little moment. And Archangel's fighting for his soul, and they share a moment where their souls are bonded for a minute. So their relationship hasn't really intensified. It's been kind of, he's the anti-hero Batman kind of guy. She's the girl cop that he keeps flirting with. But this is where they kind of live in each other's heads for a minute. And it's kind of Charlotte's humanity that allows his humanity to return. Which the allegory here is the loving energy of a black woman has saved the white billionaire. But you know, it's all right for this story, I think. There's a moment where so Archangel says, Officer Jones, your name is Charlotte, isn't it?
You pulled that out of my head, didn't you? With all my other memories. How much else stuff?
Some. I remember that you saved me.
You saved me plenty, and I say we even.
No, you don't understand. When you removed the shackle physically, I was able to act, but part of me yearned for the oblivion Crimson promised. Part of me wanted to succumb. But your memories awakened me, drove me beyond myself. You became my saving grace. It was your need, your courage that gave us both another chance. Which is a lovely moment for her to save his soul here. We jump to X-Factor 59, where Archangel is now going on a date with Charlotte. He knocks on the window, and her mother-in-law is there with a broom ready to swat him away. Dominic, do you want to be mama?
Sure.
So let's go. Archangel's over for a visit, and here's how things play out.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
And just what do you think you're doing here, Mr. High and Mighty Archangel, dragging my grandson's mother out into the night after vampires get and her still in her nightgown? Now, don't you go denying it. I heard it from her own lips, and little Timmy scared to death. Why, if I hadn't been here, he...
Mama, calm down. Your blood pressure.
It's him making that high, honey, of all the breasts and nerves.
And Timmy walks out on a pair of crutches, which we did not see before. And he goes, "Cowabunga, it's Archangel."
See, son, I told you I knew him.
But why is he just standing there on our fire escape?
Why indeed, Warren. How wonderful to see you. Won't you come in?
Warren enters, apologizing, and Mama says,
"And you, girl, what are you doing flirting with that rich, crazy trash and my son not 3 years in his grave and by a white man's bullet, too?"
Archangel's not a white man, Grandma. He's a blue man, and he's a mutant, and he can fly.
Mama, please.
And Warren thinks, "Mrs. Jones sees what I was. Timmy sees what I am. How does Charlotte see me?" Charlotte invites him to stay for coffee. Timmy says, "Archangel, oh, wow. Man, the dudes at school are never going to believe this."
"You keep your mouth shut about this, you hear, boy? This and those vampire things, too. Church folks ain't going to understand it. Ain't nobody's business but our own, anyway. Coffee now, but one thing leads to another. I've been around the block more than once, and I got eyes, see?"
I feel like Mama's the MVP at this episode.
She is. She is.
Later, Charlotte's getting ready for work. Archangel is sitting with Timmy, and Timmy says, "Grandma says you used to be white, so how'd you get blue?" He goes, "A bad guy changed me, kind of like magic." He goes, "Oh, I know about bad guys. One of them killed my daddy, and he hurt my spine. You know, I used to be the fastest runner in my class, and now I can't run anymore at all, except in my dreams. In my dreams, I can run faster than the wind." Archangel says, "I know how it is with dreams." Timmy says, "But I'm learning to walk again. I got crutches now and braces, of course. Want to see me walk again? I'm not fast now, but someday I'm gonna run." Timmy tries and falls. Archangel carries him. He says, "Thanks. Mommy always tells me to put my toys away or that'll happen," because he tripped on his toy. "You won't tell her, will you? Mommy worries. And sometimes I used to hear her cry at night after my daddy died. But then she quit being a nurse and started being a cop. And Grandma came to live with us. And Mommy works at night, so I don't hear her cry anymore. Do they ever call you names?" He goes, "Yeah, sometimes. That worries Mommy, too. Sometimes kids look at my crutches and call me Crip or Four Legs. Some of them don't want to be around me. I make them feel funny, sort of scared. But some people get used to me being different real fast. Some people don't mind. Not everybody. But Mom says they're the special people and the others don't count. But she says give them all a chance because there are more special people in the world than any other kind." And Archangel says, "Your mom's right. Look, maybe you can't run right now, but if you ask your mom, I'll take you out with me and we could fly." "Me? Fly? Oh, wow, Mommy!" And we soon see Archangel taking Charlotte flying. She is dressed for work and says,
"I don't think I quite feel as ecstatic about flying as Timmy does, but I thank you anyhow for the lift. Least I can do."
"Least I can do, considering I helped make you late.
If I know my son, he'll talk about your visit and that flight nonstop for the next month."
"He's a special kid. He said you used to be a nurse. Why'd you switch?"
I thought you were inside my head. I thought you knew everything about me."
"Some of it I got, but most of it's getting hazy, fading like a dream."
"I was a trauma nurse. Guys on the street would blow each other away. I'd help patch them up, and in no time, they'd be back in the hospital. It was like a war out there. Then my husband was killed. It was so dumb the way it happened. George was a cop, but he was off duty that night. There had been a parents' night at Timmy's school. We were walking home, and George and Timmy were racing each other down the sidewalk. You should have seen that kid run. Then, right out of nowhere, guys were with automatic weapons were gunning them down. Some drug war. And George and Timmy were caught in the middle. George was killed. One of their bullets nearly severed Timmy's spine. After that, I couldn't think straight. My life was shattered. I was sick of patching up goons. I just wanted them off the street. So I became a cop, like my husband had been. It seemed right. Besides, the pay is better, and we needed the money for Timmy's physical therapy."
We soon get a moment where they are returning back to her place. She goes, "It was fun in a gut-wrenching sort of way, like the roller coaster at Coney Island, only worse. Next time you do that, do me a favor. Warn me first." And he says, "Charlotte, will there be a next time? You don't mind if I visit you again? Timmy's really something, quite the philosopher. We really hit it off, and you..." She goes, "I'm almost late for work. Put me down around the back. If the guys see me arrive like this, I'll never hear the end of it." What are our thoughts on Charlotte's interior world? Trauma nurse married to a cop who is killed. Her kid is paralyzed. Now she's a cop herself while her mother-in-law is helping raise her kid that she's trying to get better. There's a lot of tough energy to this woman.
It's tragic, but it's understandable why she went down that route that she did. Also, I can see, like, in a way, not only with her becoming a cop to not only get the goons off the street, but also kind of a way, I know it doesn't say in the comic, but the way I saw it, it was like, it's also kind of a way to honor her husband, since her husband was a cop. So I kind of saw it that way. But it was, you know, just reading all that, it does seem like it's a fun issue, you know, again, you know, to see the conversation between Archangel and Charlotte, and especially Archangel and Timmy. I thought it was really fun to read about that. And of course, Mama interject that with all that going on. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a really fun scene. I love the complexity they give her, even though it's not followed up on a lot. We give her a rich background and a rich interior world. Skittles, what are your thoughts?
I was going to say this was actually my favorite out of reading everything. This whole entire scene was my favorite. One, because we get to see, you know, her backstory, but also her mom, her mom, I had me dying. Like, I was just like, oh my God, like this lady. I mean, it's her mom is trying to make sure she's good, but, you know, at the same time, like the comments about, you know, him being a white man and her son, you know, not even warm his grave yet. I was like, oh, mama, oh no.
She goes, he's not white. He's not white. He's blue.
Right. She said, mama, please. I was saying, mama, please. Like, hold on. But I really enjoyed the interaction between Archangel and Timmy. I enjoyed, you know, the dialogue with the mother. And then also just Charlotte just telling her story to Archangel. And I feel like it allowed a closer bond than just, you know, what he saw in her head, hearing it from her, you know, personally.
She restored this white billionaire's humanity and saved her from that evil white vampire lady. But there's something so deep and very personal about this origin. We rarely get this type of exploration with a character like this in comics nowadays, especially a supporting character. It's really well done.
Yes.
And then events start taking over. The X-Men are getting yanked in every direction. And whatever plans they had for Charlotte get a little bit disrupted here, because Archangel ends up in Genosha and there's a bunch of crazy shit that happens. And when he comes back, he goes to visit Charlotte, who's like, I've been wondering where you're at, and he's like girl, my life is crazy as a human, as a mutant, as Archangel. And she goes, excuse me, sport, you think it's any different for us down on the ground? The danger finds you whether you're a superhero or a cop, just a boy like my Timmy walking home from school. He lost the use of his legs, I lost my husband, his father, you lost your wings. We've all been hurt, Warren. Question is, do we crawl into the corner because of that, or keep on going best we can? You're worth the risk, and so am I. And we see their first kiss here as his like metal wings kind of fold around her. I love her toughness, and I love this moment of tenderness between them. Are they a good pair?
I think they are. I mean, they kind of have, you know, as Charlotte explained, you know, they kind of have like the same, not the same like traumas, but, you know, he's dealt with trauma, I dealt with trauma. I guess they kind of like bonded off of that a little bit. And then of course with, you know, Archangel saving Charlotte, you know, plenty of times, and then her return the favor, kind of makes sense for them to be together during this time.
He's about to turn to a British supermodel trapped into the body of a bathing suit wearing Asian ninja woman, and Charlotte doesn't take it very well. That's where this is heading, y'all. Because Archangel ends up with Psylocke, and then he dates Husk, who's like 18, who's like a southern white girl. It's kind of all downhill from here for him.
Yeah. I was gonna say I feel like when you asked about them being a good match, I was gonna say no, because I felt like they trauma bonded, and I mean, outside of that trauma, like, he's a superhero, he's always gone, she's like she said, she's down here, you know, working, doing her own thing, taking her kids, where have you been? Like, and he's like, well, I've been busy. But you know, like, I just feel like they they had a moment and it should have been a moment.
Charlotte gets a moment of hubris very quickly. We just heard her tell Warren, like, look, I know your mutant life is crazy, but it's crazy for me too. But she quickly realizes what he means when he says crazy at his level, because she's on ship when Apocalypse yanks it back into space and she ends up on the moon with the Inhumans and the Dark Riders and Apocalypse and the Ascani. And this is where, like, baby Nathan gets the tech virus and sent into the future to become Cable. And she's in the middle of all this, just kind of on the sidelines, like, what the hell is happening? She gets a moment with Cyclops where she goes, ain't nobody gonna believe this. Blazes. Folks probably think I'm dead, blown up with X-Factor in your shit. I'm sorry for your boy, Cyclops. I pray you did the right thing. He goes, I'll never know. So I guess there's nothing for it but to assume the best. She says, it's come so easily for you. Life, death, dancing across space and time. And he goes, you're wrong, Sergeant. It hurts. It always will. More than I can put into words. But the dream that bound us all together, X-Factor, and before us, the X-Men, was based on hope. You know, I am a therapist who does trauma shit, and there's moments where I come home and, like, my family just doesn't quite know what it is that I'm facing in my day job. Charlotte has this all the time. Charlotte has this all the time with her family, right? Like, she's seeing shit at work and, like, her kid's just innocent at home with mama, and she's, like, seeing what that looks like at the next level. Like, oh, there's, like, yes. Inhumans and, like, time traveling ladies, like, and metal necklaces. Like, can I go back to my job, please? And that's the end of X-Factor, or at least this era. Peter David takes over. This is where the books get reshuffled, and now Archangel is back on the X-Men Gold Team. We don't see Charlotte for a few years, but in Uncanny X-Men 294, they do go on a date. She's dressed in, like, some sexy black shorts and a jacket combo with, like, a white t-shirt. He shows up with a limousine and a bouquet of flowers. His hair's back out now. He's got his, like, blonde jerry curl over his, like, blue skin. And they're supposed to head to a concert for Lila Cheney to perform. Are you guys Lila Cheney fans? British rock star, intergalactic sensation. Are you familiar?
I am not.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Not too much.
She's like the hard edge of Dazzler, but she performs in space mostly. But she's doing this concert, and while they are there, Professor Xavier gets shot in the head with Strife. And that's basically the end of Charlotte and Warren's relationship. Like, last time she got yanked to the moon, and now there's an assassination right in front of her. Like, I think the mutant world's a little too much. It's a lot.
Right?
Like, how do you have a personal life?
Yeah. As somebody who's not superhuman, I can't imagine. Like what is going on? I actually used to be a federal police officer. So I can only imagine, like, seeing all of that, everything as a cop, and then being sucked into this. Oh my God. What?
You were a federal police officer?
I was a federal police
officer. Holy shit. The fact that I invited you to do this character with me, that's a weird time. Could you see any of yourself with Charlotte as she's talking about her job?
Yeah. Yes. It's hard. It's stressful.
Being a black woman and a cop
the outside is not, I mean, the outside is hard, but, like, in your precinct itself can also be hard.
Yeah, that, like, boys club, that, like, white boys club, yes, vibe.
Yeah.
And even when the cop shows up, like, people are going to react to you differently based on who you are. They react to men and women differently, black and white people differently. I get that as a therapist all the time. Certain people will find out I'm gay and not want to talk to me. Others find out I'm gay and they're like, oh, that means I can talk to you now. You know, it's a... X-Men Volume 229, Archangel and Psylocke are out on a date, and there's an interesting moment where Beast is like, hey, how's your relationship with Charlotte going? And Warren goes, about as well as your relationship with Trish Tilby, asshole. and then we jump to Nicieza writing New Warriors. There's a shockingly kind of intimate scene between Warren and Charlotte out of nowhere in a New Warriors, and they're hanging out in his fancy apartment. She goes, Warren, I still feel weird spending time with you in this apartment. I mean, I have my own place in Brooklyn. Warren says, where your mother and son are, Charlie, calling her Charlie, let's enjoy the fruits of my money as much as we can. She goes, huh. And he goes, does that bother you? Well, me too, sometimes, I guess. So let's be guilty and have some more champagne. They must have had, like, a little rebound. Maybe they were hooking up for a minute. Maybe he's real good in bed. But I don't like this version of Warren with her. He's, like, arrogant billionaire version. I don't like it.
Like, he's back to his old self in a way.
Uh-huh. She brought his humanity back, and this was the result. We jump back to Uncanny X-Men 298. Charlotte is jogging in an NYPD tracksuit, thinking about her busy life, how she's raising a kid and working homicide and studying for exams. And now she's helping the X-Men sometimes because she's delivering some intel. And she even wonders, like, did Professor X coerce me into doing this? Which is fascinating because that very well could be the case. We see her the next issue, like at Harry's hideaway with Archangel there, like his arms around her. So they do keep dating for a minute. When we get to Uncanny X-Men 322 to 324, this is the Gene Nation storyline where a whole nightclub full of people have been slaughtered by some like really scary Morlocks who grew up in another dimension. Oh, we don't need to talk about it. This is where Marrow comes from, though. Are you guys Marrow fans?
Yeah. Marrow, I was introduced to her in the X-Men Legends game. That's how I was introduced to her.
Marrow's a fascinating character. I love her anger. It's fantastic. But when she investigates the nightclub, Archangel shows up and she's like, you have not called me in 2 months, 1 week, and 4 days. And he's like, I've been busy. And she goes, get over yourself, Warren. I did. Now you want to make yourself feel better about tossing me out of your life? Fine, but do it on your own time, Mr. Worthington. I have a job to do. And fuck yes, Charlotte Jones.
Yeah, that rundown, that she like read them in for filth with them that time. I was like, okay.
She's like so casual about it, but she did the exact number of days since he had called her back. This is like what you wish Mary Jane would say to Peter Parker, like every time he
just, oh my god,
Spider-Man, yeah. You know?
Peter, please.
See her in the next issue helping the X-Men out. Sack, who's the like plasma guy, tries to attack her and she shoots him a bunch. She's in X-Force showing up as a cop, and the Operation Zero Tolerance stuff is heating up. Did you guys both watch X-Men 97?
Yes.
Operation Zero Tolerance is the 90s story that got explored there, where there's like the human sentinels hunting down mutants on behalf of the government. She shows up again in like a Graydon Creed presidential campaign. There's like a dead sentinel in the street. But then we get an incredible set of appearances for her in X-Men Volume 2, 67 to 69. She's got her crew cut. She shoots down a sentinel. Iceman and Cecilia Reyes are there. I assume you guys know and love Cecilia Reyes, who's an incredible character. Skittles is smiling ear to ear. What do you love about Cecilia Reyes?
She was probably one of the first X-Men like POC characters that was like an obscure character to me that I probably was like fell in love with, so to speak. I didn't know too much about her until one of my friends was, we want to obscure X-Men characters that nobody talks about all the time. So I'm like, I don't know too many. Like I can go Google something, and he mentioned Dr. Reyes, and I'm like, oh, let me go take a look. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, who is this? Like, I hear about her in New Mutants and things of that nature, but I never like actually took the time to look at her character. And I also cosplayed her, so you know. So yeah, I enjoyed learning about her so much that I'm like, okay, I can get into this.
She and Charlotte are both former New York-based trauma nurses.
Yes.
Like they have some conversations they can have.
Yeah.
Because Cecilia don't suffer no fools either, you know? Like there's there's a commonality there. We learn in this story that Charlotte's police department has turned anti-mutant, and she's kind of been coerced into aiding them because they literally kidnapped her child and he's being held hostage by Bastion. And part of the resolution of Operation Zero Tolerance is Timmy being saved and returned to Charlotte, who gets shot in the shoulder because that's why she can't join them on the mission. But resonant story, and Charlotte gets kind of a prominent spot in this storyline. Dominic, any thoughts here?
I do hate that our police station allied with Operation Zero Tolerance, because we know how big of a strong supporter of mutants she is. We learned that, you know, from her first appearance and everything, so I kind of felt bad for her. And then on top of that, we had a child getting kidnapped, so it was just like, oh, what? No, I bet she's thinking to herself, what have I gotten myself into now? I was just thinking about, like, if that day didn't happen when I got rescued by Archangel, where would my life be at now? But it's just crazy, like, how all these crazy things just keep on happening to her.
It's hard being a cop in this world. Imagine being in the Marvel Universe, right? Claremont brings her back in his Fantastic Four Volume 3 run, and there's a crossover with Iron Man here as as well. She sees the Genosian press gang again. There's a kidnapping. She meets Franklin Richards. She ends up back on the moon. She sees a fight with Ronan the Accuser, and she like takes a blast for the heroes. She has her like X-Men uniform still on. She just wears it under her clothes every day. Like it's her, you know, her secret, little secret underneath, yeah. Little Victoria's Secret body armor. And there is reference to like when they're on the moon, she's like, I've been here before. Iron Man's there. We see her again in X-Men Volume 2 101, where she is in a gunfight with a drug dealer named Delgado, who's very determined to kill her. The X-Men show up. We get Cecilia Reyes, Nightcrawler, and Archangel here, as well as the Neo. We do not need to talk about the Neo. Evolutionary offshoot of mutants, another superpowered race. Truly not worth the time. She is very unhappy to see Warren here. She is not having it. She lands in a pit full of bones at one point. She has to start to mutate because their powers are going crazy, but she gets merged with Delgado then at a particular point, and he's like riding her, but she has wings and like brood arms. And at the end, when he gets beheaded, she gets returned to normal. So like, this is like her bad, like body horror day at work. It's very unpleasant.
I saw the like picture of both of them when they were merged, and I was like, this is kind of nasty looking, but also interesting at the same time too. Like, that's all that I could think about, was just those two merging together when she fell into that pit. So it was a very interesting, crazy issue.
I like it much better when she's an agent of her own power. I don't like when they have to figure her very much.
Oh my gosh, poor Charlotte. Like, what is even happening here? Like, as a regular human being, houseway, that's all I was thinking. Like, how did we get here?
She gets called in on some more cases over the years. Uncanny X-Men 417, she helps, I don't know, there's intel on some mutant werewolves. The funniest part here is she's like, oh, Angel's white now, like he's not blue anymore, like what happened? she's in Decimation, House of M, the day after. This is where all the mutants have lost their powers, and she's reading about mutants being murdered. She works with Bishop for a minute. She's also back, and this is her final appearance, in Uncanny X-Men 470. So she hasn't shown up since 2006. It's been a long time since we've seen her. She's patrolling with Bishop in Mutant Town. The Shi'ar Death Commandos are there. She thinks to herself, am I nuts? I've got no superpowers. Why do I keep following you X-Men into fights? Which is the most practical thing she's ever said.
Exactly.
What is the Charlotte Jones story that we really need? What do we want to see more of from this character? I would love to see her in a position of prominence. She would make an incredible like lead character in any sort of ensemble if she's used right. Right. I think she's enough uniqueness and history that would make her really interesting. I would love to see she and Misty Knight and Cecilia Reyes just like hanging out.
That would be awesome.
That would be a great little like trio to like throw that in there. I would love that.
I would love to see her lead like a mini team of X-Men, maybe. Since she has so many run-ins at this point, you know, the X-Men, you know, they know her by now at this point. So it would be cool if there was like a case that she has where like, oh, I kind of like maybe need some help. And then she calls, you know, her closest allies, which is basically the X-Men. They're like, hey, need you guys for us. So you guys help me out with this. Something like that. I would like to see her in the future does come into fruition, but she does have a like standpoint to where they could, that where writers can take her character forward with, if that's the right way to say it. Just love to see her interact with the X-Men even more.
Yeah, she's got a lot of relationships with the team outside of Archangel. She and Forge, she and Bishop, she and Cecilia Reyes. Like, there's some interesting connections. I think she's got a lot of blood here. I would love to write like an X-Men annual, like a good 48-page story where she's the lead character.
Yeah,
and it's an adventure from her point of view that involves the X-Men. She gets involved in a crazy case, and it's like a Claremont style, like she's jumping into action and making shit happen. We haven't seen Timmy in years. We don't know how he's doing. We've never seen Mama again. But I think there's enough pathos to make this character really fascinating under the right writer. Stephanie Williams writing this character would be incredible as an example.
Hey, I love Stephanie. Shout out to Stephanie. She's a friend of mine. We met on Twitter like several years ago, and then we met in person 2 years ago. She's just not only an incredible writer, but just an amazing person overall.
Yeah. I've had her on my show a few times, and I've paneled with her. She's an incredible human. I love her very much.
Yeah.
Skittles, any thought on the Charlotte story you want to see.
I think I agree with both of your sentiments. I would like to see her in some type of leading some type of like team. Like, I mean, like you said, we've seen her throughout the years. she's got a relationship with multiple X-Men who I think would be good in like an ensemble, like this side team, but also her leading that team. So I would love to see that. I mean, just the mention of like all these POC mm-hmm. X-Men, just like, I don't know, just together doing something.
Yeah, she's really interesting. I mean, the Archangel connection, I think, is long gone. Like, she's not any longer. But I would love to see more of her parenting, more of her love life. I would love to see her just working the beat as a cop. I love the idea of, like, her being out on the road and fucking Crimson the White Vampire being like, Charlotte, I'm back. And she's like, oh, fuck no, just shoots her in the head. She's been merged with Delgado. She's been to the moon.
Yes,
she's
hunted
by the Genosians. I mean, she has quite a history.
Yeah.
What a genuine delight to hang out with you both today and just kind of delve into this character. I will forever associate her with both of you now, which is amazing. But I'm really fond of her. I would love to see this character back and elevated to a level of prominence. There's not enough characters like this in the X-Men world. I don't ever want to see her get a superpower, but I do love this idea. I even like the idea of her, like, she quit being a cop and went back to being a nurse, because, you know, who needs all that crazy? But I would love to see her thriving in some way, too. I don't know. If you have any final thoughts, I'd love to hear them. But as we're wrapping up, tell people where they can find you both online. And is there anything you'd like to plug regarding your looks or where you're going to be doing, debuting different cosplays? Let's go Skittles and then Dominic.
Why are you always putting me first?
Ladies first.
I was about to say ladies first.
Dominic and then Skittles. I'm shaking it up.
All right. So you can find me on social media, Twitter. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok, Twitch. You can also find my podcast that I do with my friends, Beyond the Batcave podcast. We are on all social media. Cons coming up: DreamCon, DragonCon, Memphis Comic Expo, of course, my home city, and possibly New York Comic-Con, possibly on that. I'm hoping I can go to that. Be debuting two new cosplays, one from My Hero Academia and one from the X-Men that a lot of people would not expect that a black man would do. I'll put it that way. Chad knows about it, so you guys are going to be a little bit surprised when you guys see it, so I'm very excited about that.
Fantastic. I do know, and I'm very excited about it. You're both very conventionally attractive humans, and so anytime you're in cosplay, people are going to enjoy it anyway, but I love your behind it.
Thank you.
Skittles, how about for you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, TikTok might be going away, but Instagram, Facebook, at Ms. Skittles, MZZ Skittles, TR_cosplay. I am also on Twitter. For cosplay, I am going to be at BlurredCon, which is the second weekend of July. I'm also going to Dream. I'm also going to Dragon. So hopefully we will
run into each other for sure. I will make sure that
I need to see this cosplay in person, okay? And I mean, I also am on a podcast with a crew, and our podcast is the Blurred Spectrum podcast. And we are also on wherever you listen to your podcast, and we're also on social medias at the Blurred Spectrum podcast. I would also like to plug my community, Urban Anime Lounge. I am the co-founder of, and you can follow us on Facebook. Join the community on Facebook.
I am so happy to be acquainted with you both. I hope to meet you both in person at some point soon. Lastly, I'm Chad Anderson. I keep my own social media private because I got kiddos. The two of you are welcome to ask, add me, just ask for my handle. You can follow Gray Malkin Lane, Gray_Lane on Instagram most easily. We're also on Discord and TikTok. The final episode on the Patreon, celebrating women of color in July, will be featuring the character Bling, who is a black queer character who does have superpowers. Sorry, Skittles. And the incredible Tiffy Starchild will be joining me for that particular episode. What a joy. Love Charlotte Jones. Loved hanging out with the both of you. We will see you all back here next time on Gray Malkin Lane's Patreon.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.